Sweet, how is everybody doing? Woo! Look at that. That was beautiful. Who did that? I appreciate you, loud human beings. Well, hey, I want to say, first and foremost, I am so thankful to be back and hanging out. If you don't know me, it means that you probably haven't been here in a couple of years or have been new in the last couple of years. I was a church planting intern here at Riverview in 2015 and made my way to Chelsea, Michigan in order to plant a church there. And God has been working in our hearts in that time and also showing a huge amount of blessing and a huge amount of encouragement. We are set to officially launch into Chelsea in September of this next coming month, September 17th, and we are pumped. We are excited. God has been bringing new people through the door. Yeah, that's worth clapping. You know, it's an exciting place to be when we get to see God work in us and through us. But before we get too far into that, I kind of want to bring up some cool things that might be pairings that are awesome. Think of your favorite pairing. Go ahead. What are the when two elements that come together and they make something beautiful, okay? So start thinking in your process. I'm going to be asking you a question. This is crowd participation day. One person participated. Now all the rest of you are going to have to. So here's one of my favorite, okay? I'm a food guy. I like food. It's yummy. And so mine is like blue cheese and buffalo wings. Like they come together and it's something beautiful, right? Okay, another one, I'm a big Reese's Cup guy, and so you've got peanut butter and chocolate, that's right, they come together and it's just delicious and it's beautiful. Okay, and then what is your thing? Okay, so I'm going to give you some seconds. If I had some music, I would be playing it right now. Think of yours, your number one thing. Okay, do you have it? Okay, everybody, give me a nod if you have it, just a gentle nod. Okay, some of you aren't nodding. Okay, here we go. Okay, on the count of three, we're just going to yell them out. Ready? One, two, three. Yeah, I didn't hear one thing at all. Okay, but I'm sure they were good. I'm sure they were excellent. We were back in our prayer meeting, hanging out. I don't know if you know, but we pray for the service, and we pray that God would do incredible things here at Riverview, and we do that. We adopted that at our church at Main Street Church in Chelsea, and one of the things that I asked in the midst of that prayer was I said, okay, does anybody have a pairing? And the first person with a lot of energy said, peanut butter and? Yeah. Nope, carrots. 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 Here's carrots. There's carrots. Yep. Yep, not even cooked. Not crunchy, crunchy carrots. So everybody's different. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, maybe I'll go home and try it. Maybe not. So we're here, you know, one of the things, I've got four girls, they're 10 and under, and they are amazing human beings, they're a lot like their mom, and so, man, I love it, and it's always an adventure, and it's always fun, and so they like beautiful things, like they are beautiful things, and they like beautiful things, and so one of the things that they like is one of those things, where two things come together that make something dynamic and awesome. And what that thing is when there's water droplets and it's just after a rain and there's a heaviness in the air and then the sun pops out of the sky and you get these beautiful rays and then what do you get? A rainbow. You get this rainbow and it is dynamic. You know, and everybody's, you know, usually we're driving when this happens, and so we're driving, and everybody's like, hey, there's a rainbow, it's amazing, it's awesome, and you get this beautiful picture, and then you try to take a picture on your camera, never looks good enough, and you know, the kids are all watching, they're like, Dad, do you see that, and I'm driving, I'm like, where, you know, you're like, doing this and doing that, you know, and you're avoiding death, but it's this beautiful, beautiful picture, right? This beautiful picture. Why? Because there's this great mix of two things coming together to make this beautiful picture. I'd love for you to store that away and store that concept away in your heart. And we're going to take a look at the definition of dynamic faith today. We're going to take a look at the definition of dynamic faith. And in order to do that, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Daniel chapter 6. And in Daniel chapter 6, we see this guy Daniel, he's approximately 81 years old, and he's been through the ringer in his life, and he comes up on this time where he's sitting here, and he's just trying to mind his own business. He's trying to do hard work, mind his own business, and that's where we're going to pick up the story in chapter 6, and we're going to walk through it. And as we walk through this, you're going to see me highlight some common aspects of what it means to live by faith. Some common things that are not necessarily always a part of a faith journey and not always a part of how you walk by faith, but certainly within this picture they are, and certainly they commonly are. And so pick up with me chapter 6, verse 1 in the book of Daniel, and it says this. So it pleased Darius, who was the king at the time, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps would give account, so the king might suffer no loss. Then Daniel became distinguished above all the other officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was within him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could not find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these high officials and satraps came upon agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, all are in agreement, and the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Verse 9, epic event. Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. And this is the first part. This is the first part where all of us can kind of connect with this, in a place in which we live by faith and where it's easy to do day by day when there's nothing that's challenging going on. But inevitably, there are challenges to our faith, whether they're internal or whether they're external. Whether they are direct or indirect, there are things that come along that make us take a step back where we have to consider what we believe and who we believe in. That's no different for Daniel. He was a man just like any of us. And as he's sitting here in the midst of this kingdom and he has this high reward, there are people that want his power and are jealous of him. And so they come together and they say, let's make it so that he is dethroned from the stance that he has or the place he has in the kingdom. The challenge comes. It's there in his face. But then we see his reaction, and we see the courage of Daniel. When Daniel, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open towards Jerusalem, and he got down on his hands and knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Whew. That's some guts, right? You think about that. He's sitting here. He is an old man. He's 81. He's done his time. He finds himself, after some interesting events that we see in chapter 5, actually come out of retirement in essence and take on this position, and God just continues to elevate him because of his faithfulness. And in the midst of that, now everything's shoved into his face. It's his time to relax, not his time to embolden. It's his time to kind of, you know, sit on the beach and just do life. But God pulls him out of retirement, puts him in this place of power, and now it's all in his face. And his reaction, and probably nobody would have blamed him, could have been him just to go, man, there's a lot going on here. I clearly see that these people aren't loving me. How about I just do this? How about I just step aside? I'm going to keep praying, but what if I maybe just close the shutters to my door or pull a drape over the window? It's not a big deal. I'm still praying. I'm still there. But that's not his reaction, is it? No. He hears it, and what is his immediate reaction? Do what I've always done. Get down on my knees. Where I know these people are going to be looking for me. They made this injunction, right? These 120 little nasty critters of human beings, they made this in order to trap him. And so as far as it went official, what do you think they were doing? Can you imagine the scene? They're poking their eyes around buildings. They're up on the rooftops looking over the ledges. They're all talking back and forth. Has he done it yet? Has he done it yet? He did it! Go, 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 go! We did all this planning. We got this far. Time to pounce. Go! Daniel's not dumb. He knew exactly what was going on. And so he takes this step of courage. He takes this step of faith. Ironically, the step that everybody knew he would take, that in itself is a sermon, right? And then verse 11. So these men came by agreement and they found Daniel making petition and plea before God, before his God. Then they came near and they said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, that they shall be cast into the den of lions? And the kings answered and said, the things stand fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, he's not even one of us, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. You know, I think sometimes we get this belief that if we are faithful, that then nothing difficult is going to happen, right? That we sometimes have this deal with God that says that if I am faithful to you, then you have to be faithful on my terms to me. That you should stop this from happening, that surely that the king will just hear who it is, that it's me, and that he will pick me over the law of the Medes and the Persians and the embarrassment that would it be to nullify this, that he would surely take that hit. But that's not what happened at all, is it? Because the result is big. You see, sometimes in our courage and in our faithfulness that there is pain, and not only is there pain, but there is a result that may not fit within our box. That was true for Daniel, verse 14, and says, then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed, and he set his mind to deliver Daniel. He labored until the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by appointment to the king and said to the king, King, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, and he spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. So the king's sitting here, and he didn't want to put Daniel in, but he felt like he had to. He made the decision to put him in anyways. And they locked him up and left him for dead. Daniel went into that den. Daniel went down to his knees in front of that open window, knowing that this was likely going to be the result. And yet, he had faith. It wasn't faith without pain. It wasn't faith without fear. We're never given a close, intimate look at the emotions that Daniel went through, but I don't think it's too far of a stretch to imagine what those last couple of hours before he was thrown into the den were like. Even the hardiest of people would have to be freaked out by the thoughts of ravenous lions taking your body and eating you alive, having a tug of war with who you are. That it doesn't mean that even though Daniel stood by his faith, that he was completely impervious to humanity. But what we do see is this picture of Daniel saying, whatever the cost, I follow my Lord. Whatever the cost, my king is not an earthly king, but a heavenly king. Whatever the cost. You know, and what makes this such a good kid's story is that it continues. Verse 19. Then at break of day, the king arose and he went in haste to the den of lions. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually, love that phrase, whom you serve continually, I love that phrase, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. What? He's heaping praise and encouragement and even loyalty to the man who threw him in the cave. And this is why, verse 22, my God sent his angel and he shut the lion's mouth and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king, and I have done no harm. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken out of the lion's den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions. And this is where it gets gruesome. This is where they usually stop in children's church. They, their children, and their wives, and before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. God provided. He's a God of provision. Let me ask you, though, what if Daniel was ripped to pieces? Does that mean God didn't provide? No. Just means his provision takes on a different look, where Daniel gets to be with his Lord. And so we have this story of faith. We have this story that starts with a challenge and then goes from a challenge to a place where a man had to have courage and stand on his faith, but then was followed up by pain, because it's not always a rosy picture when we do that. And then there is a result where you see the result of that faith, which sometimes is good and sometimes is not good, at least not good for us. And then we see God's provision at times where he comes through not only in a heavenly way, but he comes through in an earthly way, and where he takes care of those things that we not only need, but we want. Daniel didn't need to live another year. You're like, oh, life is a base need. Not when you have Jesus. Not when you have faith. Not when you have a God that loves you and cares about you. Odd to say, amazing to live. But yet even God took care of his need. And why? Because of his faithfulness. And then we see the whole fullness of God's plan in this, which these satraps thought that they had something going, right? They were all malicious and conniving and tried to put Daniel in this box and then by doing so, take over power. But God was like, you don't get it. My plan is bigger than you. Look at the reason. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote to all the prophets, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persians. Faith. See, even in the midst of it, as Daniel had his faith, he had his faith in God. As he was doing that, God had this plan. And Daniel was a part of that plan. And Daniel's faithfulness was a part of that plan. You see, it's one thing when we are called by God into a relationship with him and we have that faith that we have placed in who he is and what he's done for us, that we have this narrative in our life where we know that we are deemed righteous, that because Jesus died on the cross, that we are deemed righteous, that in all of the nastiness that we invent, that God says, no, 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 no. For those who truly know me, you are deemed righteous. But yet there's something that holds on to us. There's something that sticks to us. There's something that even in that step where we fully take on God's forgiveness that he offers through his son, that we still have the sinful nature that is attached to who we are. And so there is this connection between our faith, but then there is this thing called faithfulness, that when these two things come together in a follower of Jesus Christ's life, a beautiful, amazing picture is made. There is the faith of which we are saved because of what Christ has done for us. And then in return, he says, make me the Lord of your life and be faithful to me. And so we rest in his promise in the hope of the gospel, the good news of who Christ is. But then he says, now let me do something incredible. And so really, when you look at the story of Daniel, it doesn't just lie in chapter 6, right? It's not just all about the lion's den. But if you take this trip through the book of Daniel, chapter 1, what did he do? 15 years old. He's not 81. He's 15 years old. He's taken out of his home, away from his parents, out of his culture, away from his teaching of who God is. And he stands up when the King Nebuchadnezzar says, feed them the royal food that has been sacrificed to idols. And he says, no. And he is faithful. And then we take another trip and we see in chapter 2, he interprets a dream that as easily could have given him fame as it could have given him death. And then he repeats that in chapter 4 and in chapter 5 as he communicates the will of God to these kings who have no clue on who God is and how much he is worthy of praise. And so at the end, at the age of 81, he is known as a man who is, do you remember? What was that word? Faithful. And so there is this beauty that happens when we recognize what Christ has done for us. That when he calls us to him and we go, okay, God, There's nothing that I can do in order to earn forgiveness. There is nothing that I can do in order to earn your good graces. My sin is my condemnation, but your grace is sufficient for me. And so in you I place my faith. And the second that we do that, he goes, you're forgiven. I love you. And that is dynamic and awesome. And then there's this other part where he says, now make me the Lord of your life. That's what Daniel did. That's his faithfulness. Right? And we aren't faithful because there's a gun sticking to our head, because we know that the promise of God, that he is faithful to perfection, and therefore that salvation of which he gave us is forever and enduring. But we are faithful as a result of the fact that we love him and that we care about him and that we appreciate him. And so we take on those challenges and we take a step of faith and a stand of faith. But he says, I don't want you to do that just once. I want that to be the thing that defines who you are. And when you do that, that becomes the definition of faithful. And when you take the power of his forgiveness and you take the faithfulness of a person of Christ, there is this picture that he brings that is more beautiful than a rainbow. Because as much as the rainbow shows the magnificence and the glory of God in the power of his promise, guess what? A life of a person who is lived by faith is a more magnificent picture of God's grace and love, isn't it? There is a fairly good chance that you are in this room, not because of some magnificent picture that you saw, but because of a life that you saw that was dynamic and loved God, right? That's the picture that Daniel gave. That's the picture that God calls us to. And that is where the definition of dynamic faith comes from. It's not a faith that just says, God, save me, but it's a faith that says, as you have saved me, I will live for you. And sometimes, God, I know that's going to come at a cost. For some of you out there, you might be like, yeah, that's a great Sunday school story. I heard that when I was 2. A little flannel graph. Yeah. Don't remember the whole family is getting thrown into the lion's den too, but anyway. You might say, well, what does this have to do with me? Clearly, Daniel was a great guy. How do I, maybe somebody who just for the first time today is recognizing the call that God has on my life and putting his faith in him, or how do I, a person who is just kind of sat around taking on the saving grace of God but never really being faithful myself, how does that apply to me now? Because to be quite honest, I'm not really facing lions. And to that I would say, maybe you are. I want to show you a picture. Do you guys have that picture? I'm going to try not to cry on this, but I've got no promises. We've been doing this church plant in Chelsea, Michigan. And about 80% of our church are people that have not been in church in a very long time or have never been in church. And last week, I had to go away to a conference in Ohio. And for the first time, our group did what we call a community-loving event in Chelsea, Michigan, without me. And they got together, these people who, church is just weird new thing, and faith in Christ is this weird new thing, and being faithful is this weird new thing. And as I'm away, they got together, and actually a woman that used to go here to Riverview happened to be moving down at the same time as us. Corey? She has at times struggled with self-confidence. She ran this event from beginning to end and did far better than I could have ever done. And these people in this community, where if you don't know what Chelsea Ann Arbor area is like, it is not a churched world at all. It is not a place where you pray in public. It is not a place where you have God at the forefront of your conversations. It is a place where if you believe in God, that's cool, but why don't you keep that over here for the most part? It's one of the reasons we moved down there. And in the midst of that, I'm not there. These men and women who not too long ago had never, in some cases, even known who Christ is in this town, not only did the event and loved our community, but beforehand, in public, out in the open, decided without prodding from their pastor that they were going to circle around and that they were going to pray together. And you might look at that, you might go, what's the big deal? And let me help you, let me tell you, that is a stinking big deal. And I can tell you right now, any hesitation that Daniel might have had when he knelt down and he was in front of the window and he was going, okay, God, I'm doing this and I know that there's people down there. I can guarantee you, while there's not lions there, there is the equivalent of lions there. And that some of those people, before they joined hands and publicly said, okay, we're going to pray that God uses us this evening in order to love our community so that they may see Christ, I can guarantee you they were seeing lions in their minds. They did it anyways. Proud, proud moment. So what are your lions? If you have seen the grace of God in your life and you have placed your faith in Him, and in that you have been given His faithfulness to you to say that no matter what, no one can snatch you out of my hands, my question to you is, how are you willing to make Him your Lord? And in doing so, allow this cool mix between the faith that saves us and the faithfulness that drives our purpose. Will you be willing to let them to combine in order to make a beautiful picture that screams His name? My challenge to you today is simply this: be faithful to Christ. Be that picture of Him to those around you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you're an awesome and mighty God. We don't deserve your grace and your forgiveness, but you give it to us freely because you love us. And in that we put our faith. And in return, you ask us to be faithful and to see the fullness of the purpose of which you have put us. It's not just one stand, but it's a life of standing for you. And in doing so, we're going to have struggles and we're going to have challenges. But in the end, your reason for what is going on will be seen. And people will see your love in the most clear picture you could ever imagine, more beautiful than a rainbow. And so we humbly place our lives in your hands. We ask that you give us courage and perseverance, and that we would have the blessing and the delight of seeing you work through us as imperfect people serving a perfect God. Thank you for the example of Daniel. We love you. Amen.